Genetic engineering is a process where scientists take genes from one species and force it into the DNA of other species.
Every single independent study conducted on the impact of genetically modified food shows that it damages organs, it causes infertility, it causes immune system failure, it causes holes in the GI tract, it causes multiple organ system failure.
The whole concept of genetically modified organisms is throwing a monkey wrench in the life on this planet.
What if we could produce more yield on the same amount of land, squeeze more water from a single raindrop, conserve natural resources while caring for the environment?
Monsanto is the company that told us that PCBs were safe. They told us that Agent Orange was safe. They told us that DDT was safe. And now they're in charge of telling us if their own genetically modified foods are safe.
The reason why we have 170 million acres of genetically engineered corn and soybeans and cotton and canola oil and sugar beets in the United States is because it doesn't have to be labeled.
The first genetically modified animal, a salmon, may soon be approved for human consumption.
Both these fish are 18 months old, but the larger genetically engineered Aqua Advantage salmon grows twice as fast as the regular salmon.
There has not been sufficient animal health testing, human health testing, or environmental impact testing of these new transgenic fish.
Basically, they've taken agriculture and built an industrial model which doesn't fit nature. So instead of changing their agricultural model to accommodate what is natural, they're changing nature to accommodate the industrial model. If you have an organic corn crop that sits next to a genetically engineered corn field, and it happens to tassel at the same time, and it happens to be downwind, you're going to get your crop contaminated.
The rest of the food supply is contaminated. Then the genie is out of the bottle, and it's maybe physically impossible to turn the situation around.
In the genetic engineering revolution, these seeds are now patented property of one corporation called Monsanto.
The pharmaceutical industry has no interest in having you well because they don't make any money if you're well. And the pharmaceutical industry is the biotech industry.
Some people think that GMO really means God move over.
We are heading downhill at a rapid rate of speed toward our own extinction.
The use of GM in agriculture is a risk that is simply not worth taking.
Any scientist that looks into the research or the lack of research on the safety of genetically engineered food comes to the conclusion that these foods should not be on the market. They need another decade or two of research.
Monsanto is the company that told us that PCBs were safe. They were convicted of actually poisoning people in their town next to the PCB factory and fined $700 million. They told us that Agent Orange was safe. They told us that DDT was safe, and now they're in charge of telling us if their own genetically modified foods are safe. Because the FDA doesn't require a single safety study, they leave it to Monsanto.
I know Monsanto, as one of the officials of the organization said, we're here to make money. And that's not just Monsanto, that's a lot of food industries. Their job is to make money for the investor. Unfortunately, that becomes the highest priority thought in their minds. Make money, make money, make money. They're not actually making products to make health. They're making money. And so they tend to overlook the health consequences. I think that is a ridiculous sort of approach to the problem. There should be some responsibility being assumed by the producer that when they're producing food, they have a reasonably good assurance that it's a good quality product. That should be the highest priority thing. And then if they can make money with that, fine and dandy. But unfortunately, it's usually the other way around. People in this sort of business are looking for opportunities to make money first priority. And then in this case, maybe letting somebody else worry about the health consequences, maybe even the public. And I think we have it upside down. that is simply upside down.
Why did the FDA abdicate their responsibility to protect us? The White House had instructed the FDA to promote biotechnology under the first Bush administration. And so the FDA created a new position for Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney. So Michael Taylor was in charge of policy at the FDA when this GMO policy was created, and then he became Monsanto's vice president, and under the Obama administration was put back in the FDA as the U.S. food safety czar. In reality, the overwhelming consensus among the scientists at the FDA were not only that GMOs were different, but that they were inherently dangerous, that they might create allergies, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems. They had urged their superiors to require long-term study, and when they saw drafts of the policy coming back to them, they were angry and urged their political appointees to change course. But Michael Taylor and the political appointees ignored the science, ignored the scientists, denied the existence of their concerns, and set forth a policy that allowed GMOs to be put on the market in a way that creates unprecedented risk for human beings and the environment.
The FDA is composed of smart people, but they're smart people with a conflict of interest. They're smart people who make their decisions based on what will support their financial needs or their academic needs, not what makes scientific sense.
What you can do with GMOs is basically engineer food in ways that make it most profitable from the company's perspective. But from the company's perspective, whatever negative aspects of that might exist are simply irrelevant. And more than being irrelevant, the company is motivated to try to suppress knowledge about those negative aspects. The company is motivated to try to suppress government attempts to regulate in relation to those negative aspects. The company is motivated to try to infiltrate government and lobby government. I mean, when you look at the Clinton administration, Bush Sr., Bush Jr., and Obama, you look at various high-ranking positions in the administrations of all of those presidents, you find people who have worked for Monsanto.
Most people don't realize that Monsanto has been around for about a century. They've acquired lots of resources, and they are very clever and sophisticated. They know how the game works. They understand lobbying. They understand bribery. They have been effective at essentially stacking the political structure, the federal regulatory agencies in their favor, to the point that it's almost physically impossible to pass any type of federal regulations or legislation because the people who make those choices have been in the revolving door of Monsanto. They either previously worked for them or they're paid consultants for them.
Revelation is knowledge set on fire. God gave you a body to exist in this world. God gave you emotions to feel, senses to experience, and a mind to use. Every aspect of your being can be used unto the glory of God. Now, the carnal mind can bring destruction, but as believers, we have spiritual minds. So, I don't understand why so many Christians think that the mind in and of itself is at odds with faith and spirituality. In fact, the spirit-filled are marked with sharp minds and powerful speech. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you senseless. He makes you sharp. Leave a like if you agree. Say what God says, how God says it, and when God says to say it. The world is full of chaos and confusion, and only bold and clear declarations of truth can pierce through the noise. Speak with compassion, love, grace, and maturity, and speak with boldness. Now, when you speak truth, the world will call you bigoted, narrow-minded, old-fashioned, and out of touch. Even some Christians may be upset if you speak truth that challenges what they believe. Speak truth anyway. As declarers of truth, we don't seek controversy, but if speaking truth shakes things up, so be it. If you agree that we should say what God says, then comment amen and leave a like to spread this message.
Now we are taking a look at the video that was initially captured by a man on a bicycle, and he was on his way to buy some groceries. It was early evening and he was riding along a busy city road. After a short while, it becomes apparent that an accident must have taken place. Naturally, the man was curious and looking around a bit when passing by the scene. As it turned out later, a fatal collision had taken place. And as sad as this is, it is believed that the spirit might have still been at the scene after the incident. Let's take a look. The man recording checked the footage at home and had to realize that an eerie-looking pale figure in a white dress can be seen standing in the middle of the road. And what's even more, they seem to be missing their head. For the man, there was no doubt that this scary-looking thing was a headless ghost, but he is uncertain if it was indeed the spirit that could have been related to the crash. Whatever the answer, it's pretty creepy though, isn't it?
Jaime Camil is an actor from Mexico. He's a famous person. He's on a magazine cover. Is he just naturally God-given talented? Is that why he's on a magazine cover? Why is he on a magazine cover? Is it a secret? Is he keeping a secret or a vow of silence about the biblical world and most likely about Freemasonry? He's doing the vow of silence again. He's dressed up as a woman and he's doing the vow of silence again. God says, the woman shall not wear which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. And he supports pride of sin. He's got the gay pride flag there, right? The love and support for the LGBTQ, whatever community. Going back to the magazine cover, he's hiding his hand in his coat like a Freemason would do. He is hiding his hand in his coat the way a Freemason would do. This world is sold out. It's been lying to you. The world is in fact biblical. It's clear to see. If you research this, if you read the Bible, if you have a prayer life, if you humble yourself and say, Lord, please show me this, and don't give up after a day if nothing happens and God doesn't reveal it in a night. Seek Jesus Christ. Seek the truth. He is the truth. So you will find him if you seek the truth. He tells, seek and you shall find. Brothers and sisters, everyone else, God bless you.
What's your name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, you're a preacher, are you?
Not yet.
But you know you have a calling.
Amen.
Do you know you have a calling?
I do.
Huh?
I do.
Wow. We've confirmed that. Well, the Holy Spirit confirmed that so many times. He had a calling.
Receive an impartation to preach. Have a double lot.
Double portion, sister.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Double portion. Baptism in the Holy Spirit with fire. We already prayed for you, didn't we, Lisa?
Salvation for my husband is refusing.
God loves you, sir. So, can I talk to you?
Yeah,
God loves you. What you need in life is fire. I'm talking about a fire that motivates you, that gets you going, that gives you joy, that gets you up in the morning and you've got hope and joy and purpose. And in Jesus, you'll find that fire. Okay, because your life has been... You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
So if you want the fire, let me know, okay? What have we got going here? Tanya, more love of God. Addiction to approval. Are you ready to be healed, David?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you can feel the power of God on you.
Yeah.
That's the power of God on your foot. Well, that's the power. Sit down for a moment, David. Sit down for a moment. Have a seat, sir. That's the power of God on your foot. Okay, you're okay, David. You can take that off and go for a walk. Yeah. So what's wrong with your foot? What was wrong with your foot?
Plantar fasciitis.
Okay. So take it off. Okay, off you go. Excuse me, Zawadi. Someone say, praise the Lord. Come on back, David. What's happening?
Yeah, pain's much less.
The pain's much less.
Yeah.
Put your foot on top of mine. Just lightly. Okay, off you go. Go this way. All right, what do you say now? Turn around, David. What's happening?
It's rigid, getting less and less.
Getting less and less. What do you think about that?
Great.
Praise the Lord. And chronic fatigue.
Yeah.
Luca.
45 years.
Oh, that's the power of God on you, Esther. Wow, that's the power of God moving on you. God loves you. Hey?
I love you.
Amen.
Can I pray for you? Come on. What's your name?
Lynette.
Lynette, God loves you. You have... a capacity of love for people. It's a heartfelt love you have for people. It's the love of God in your heart. There's a supernatural love. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I see it in you.
Listo.